It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Ralph Goodman and directed by Max Hutto. Before our story, here are Fibber and Molly with a word for you.
I saw that new neighbor of ours down at the grocery store today, Molly.
You mean the young mother across the way? The one with the three children?
The very same. Boy, you should have seen her buying up the place.
Really?
Baby food, cereals, 4 quarts of milk. Says she shops that way every day.
Well, I shouldn't wonder. With three growing youngsters, the food and clothing bills get bigger right along with them. And so does a mother's responsibilities, too. I guess that's why so many dads are making sure their wives will have extra money during those budget-busting years through a Prudential Family Income Plan.
You see, friends, if anything happens to you, the family income plan will pay your family an income every month while the kids are growing up, money they'll need for food, clothing, and schooling. And because it provides this helping hand to you mothers only during your youngsters' tot to teenage years, it costs amazingly little. You can take it from us. If you've got growing children, it's time you called your Prudential agent about a family income plan for your family. You couldn't make a wiser move.
The main speaker at tonight's civil defense meeting and air raid drill was supposed to have been Mr. Willoughby, the high school principal and head of the Elks Club. However, in a change of plans yesterday, the honor was switched to Mr. McGee. Mrs. McGee is telling a friend about it now.
And that's how it happened, Monica. I just went down to that civil defense board myself, and I told them I thought my husband deserved the honor of making that speech, and they agreed with me. Oh, no, Mr. Willoughby didn't mind a bit. Told McGee he was delighted. See you there tonight at the school. Bye. Now if I can get this vacuum cleaner going again and finish this living room. Oh, McGee, where are you?
In the den, kiddo. Finishing my speech.
Oh, the cord on the vacuum cleaner is loose again.
Just a minute. And if you wish to act like a rat, okay. But it would be a lot braver to come out in the open and fight. There.
Is that your speech?
No, this is a note I'm going to slip Willoughby on the way into the meeting. My gosh, the way he's been acting ever since they took making the speech away from him and gave it to me.
The way he's been acting?
Yeah.
He hasn't said a word except to wish you luck.
That's what I mean. If he's sore, why don't he say so? It's these sneaky kind of guys that...
Oh, McGee, stop being so ridiculous. The man stepped aside gracefully. He came over and congratulated you, told you he was delighted for you. What more do you want?
I want him to come out in the open and fight like a man. Like I'd do if he was the one that took this honor away from me. Boy, I'd tear the roof off. I'd raise so much heck that by George...
Oh, fix this cord on the vacuum cleaner and get back to work on your speech. Here's the friction tape.
Okay. But I'm watching out for that guy Willoughby. He's diabolical. Nobody could be that nice and friendly. He's up to something, and I'm not going to let him do it, whatever it is to me. There, that ought to hold the vacuum.
Thank you. I'll close the door so the noise won't bother you. You get back to work on your speech and forget Mr. Willoughby. Sometimes he gets the silliest notions. But he's a man, and as my mother used to say, don't try to understand them. Just feed them and laugh at their jokes. Oh, dear. The house all upset and I look a mess. I hope this isn't anybody important. Just a minute!
Hello, Mrs. McGee.
Well, Mr. Wimple, I do hope you'll excuse my appearance. Come in.
Thank you.
I'm right in the middle of my housework.
Oh, don't fuss with your hair, Mrs. McGee. You look charming. Simply charming.
Well, thank you.
There's something glamorous, gay, and mystical about a woman doing housework. Flitting around from room to room, brightening each little corner with her magic wand. A touch here, the silver glitters. A tap there, and the window panes sparkle. I think it's wonderful.
So do I. Where do you get one of those things?
Yes, I know what you mean. My back's killing me, too. Aren't the Venetian blinds murder? Sometimes I... Oh, hello, Mr. McGee. Oh,
hi, Wimp. I thought I heard somebody come in. You going to be at the civil defense meeting tonight at the high school when we dedicate the new siren?
Oh, indeed I am, Mr. McGee.
Good.
I am assisting with a first aid demonstration. I'm the one they put the bandages on.
Well, that ought to feel natural to you, Wimp.
Yes, typecasting, I call it. What I'm looking forward to, though, is your speech, Mr. McGee.
Well, you'll hear it, boy. No matter what that guy Willoughby is up to, he ain't going to stop me.
Stop you? Why, I thought he was delighted for you. I mean, last night at the Elks meeting, when he put his arm around your shoulder and told everyone how proud he was to step aside for such a worthy brother.
Well, now, isn't that nice? McGee, you didn't tell me about that.
I didn't want to worry you.
Worry me?
He's our grand exalted ruler, you know, and he told all the members to show up tonight or else. That's when I knew for sure he was up to something diabolical. Because the only time the Elks get an order to show up or else is for a brother elk's funeral. And if he thinks he's going to turn this into my funeral,
Stop being so utterly ridiculous.
Ridiculous, my clavicle. See, whiz, if I was Willoughby instead of me, and he was me instead of him, I'd be up to something, and he is. When we get to that meeting tonight, fellow elk or no fellow elk, I'm watching out for them horns because it's only human nature for a guy that's dollar-bollocking.
Back to Wistful Vista in a minute.
For skin that's clear and extra clean, use Dial, Dial, Dial. Complexions love this mild routine, use Dial, Dial, Dial.
You can't see what's happening underneath your makeup, but you can be sure of this. If you wash beforehand with mild, gentle Dial soap, invisible skin bacteria won't spoil your complexion. Because Dial removes up to 95% of skin bacteria that often spread surface blemishes and make them worse. And ordinary face soaps leave thousands of bacteria. When you put on makeup, these bacteria are free to cause trouble underneath. But daily washing with Dial gently removes them. Dial's the one leading soap that contains AT7, or hexachlorophene, the most effective bacteria remover known. And it clings to your skin, continually retarding the growth of new bacteria. That's why mild, gentle Dial soap protects your complexion even under makeup.
Careful, dearie.
Yeah.
My, there certainly is a lot of traffic on the streets tonight.
Probably all going to the same place we are. Going to be quite a crowd, I hear. Now, let's see, where was I? Oh, yeah. And in dedicating this siren, let us think of it as a symbol. A symbol of all our efforts in civil defense. Not just unselfish men like myself, but also you, and you, and ooh. That was a close one.
Skip the gestures, will you? Just drive the car.
Okay. I guess I practiced this speech enough at home anyhow. Right now, the thing for me to do the rest of the way is just relax. Read me the program for the meeting over again, will you?
Okay.
What happens just before the main event, my speech? What's ahead of me?
Well, first the salute to the flag,
mm-hmm.
And then the reading of the minutes of the last meeting, so the public there can get an idea of how you civil defense boys do things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the demonstration of first aid procedure, and then it says speech by Mr. Fibber McGee dedicating the new siren.
Oh, yes.
And after that, a demonstration of the new siren and an air raid drill by the public and civil defense officials.
Oh, yeah, don't forget about that drill, kiddo. When the meeting is over and they kick off the siren, you file out with the rest of the civilians and go straight to the basement bomb shelter while us officials take our post on the street, you see?
Okay.
And the main thing to remember is speed. That's what we keep stressing. Clear the hall out as fast as possible.
Okay.
No need to run or panic. Just move fast.
Okay.
I don't mean shove the people in front of you, but
okay.
Just... Well, efficiency is what counts. That's our byword. By the way, in case you're interested, that's in my speech, too.
That's nice. And by the way, in case you're interested, you just passed your corner.
Hmm? Oh, for the love of...
No need to rush. Don't panic. Just move fast. Efficiency is...
Well, cut it out, Molly.
Well, thank you, Dr. Gamble, for your interesting demonstration of first aid procedures. And thank you, Mr. Wimple, for assisting the demonstration.
Now, you fellows carry Mr. Wimple over here on that stretcher, please. I'll get the splints off.
And now, the dedication speech for our new district siren, which at this moment proudly stands atop this very school as a rampart at watch to warn against any attack on our freedoms, which we of our community can be so justly proud...
I thought I was supposed to make the speech.
Dearie, shh.
As you know, we have had a change in speakers. One of our leading citizens will address you tonight in place of our principal, Mr. Willoughby, whom, by the way, seems to be rather late tonight.
He wasn't mad, huh? What'd I tell you? Just didn't show up, that's
all.
Oh,
he'll be here. I'm sure he isn't angry.
But instead of Mr. Willoughby...
If he ain't sore, why ain't he here? He's burned up, that's why he is.
Shh, you're talking loud.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Proceed.
But instead of Mr. Willoughby, we have with us tonight a speaker most worthy of this honor because of his years of unselfish devotion to duty as a block warden during the last war.
Because he takes up more time with his dad.
Mr. McGee.
Yeah? Oh, that's me. I'm on. Hey, where's my notes, Molly? My notes. Where's my notes?
In your hand. Your hand. No, the other hand.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, fellow neighbors and friends. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here tonight to speak on civil defense. Although this meeting is small, not too small, but small, maybe 100 people here, the subject is big. And therefore, these few pages of notes and helpful suggestions I have compiled will be helpful. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have worked long and hard preparing these notes, and tonight I gladly accept the honor of making this... What the heck is that?
Oh, no.
Sounds like... Yeah, it's the new siren.
Oh,
what?
They turned it on too soon, Frank.
Well, let's go, everybody. It's a drill.
Now, wait a minute. They're not supposed... Hey, my speech. Hey, where's everybody going? Hey, come back here.
Oh, it can't be helped now, McGee. It's a drill.
Fine, McGee. I'll go to the shelter like you said.
No, Molly. Wait,
all right,
hang back.
Everyone to your post. Convenience to the shelter.
Right.
It's only an air raid drill, remember? It's a drill.
Hey, Willoughby done this. Going. He turned on that siren, that dirty rat. I'll get that Willoughby for this if it's the last thing I do. That diabolic.
Fibber and Molly will be right back. The actress of Fire and Ice is a woman of passion and fears. In this one revealing sentence lies the heart of Joan Crawford's own story. You'll want to read her intimate article, The Story I've Never Told, in the February issue of Woman's Home Companion. Joan tells about the men she has loved and why her three marriages failed. She answers the question, will she ever marry again, and what she wants in a man. Joan Crawford's own story is a stirring account of her triumphs, failures, and hopes for the future. A dramatic story no woman should miss. And in the same issue, every mother will want to read Fanny B.J. Maston's informative article, What I Teach Teenagers About Love, Sex, and Marriage. Should teenagers go steady? Should they marry early? Should they kiss on the first date? Read Miss Maston's approach to these difficult questions in the current issue of Woman's Home Companion, now at your newsstand. You just can't afford to miss it.
I just talked to Dr. Gamble, McGee. He checked the whole thing out, and it was not Mr. Willoughby who turned on the siren at all.
It had to be Willoughby, Molly. I told you all the time he was planning something sneaky because he resented me getting the honor of making the speech.
It was not Mr. Willoughby. He was sick in bed with a cold all evening. He wasn't out of his house.
Well, then who was it? The switch for the siren is in the school basement, and he's got a key to it, so who was it?
Well, somebody else who resented you being given the honor instead of Mr. Willoughby.
Who?
Mrs. Willoughby.
Oh. Well, I was almost right. Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber, McGee, and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed with Bill Thompson as Mr. Wimple and Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble. Be with us again tomorrow night, won't you? This is John Wall saying good night.
Remember to laugh with Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve tonight, the great Gildersleeve, that is, on the NBC Radio Network.